But now we are joined by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library, who is still getting situated. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I don't know what day it is, what week it is, what's happening.
I mean, does anyone really know what week it is? Is there a way to keep track of that?
I don't know, but with like the MLK holiday and the snow.
Yes.
And
Inauguration Day coming up.
I don't know what's going on.
Welcome to 2017, everybody. It's
like,
just going to be a big old blur
Aaron
from here on out.
Why is emailing me about our show on Tuesday?
Because it's
You're
Wednesday.
Like, I know, because it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
So cool. I'm swell. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am really looking forward to the Meet the Author tea that's coming up tomorrow, which you can talk about at great length.
Of course I can, Aaron. What would you like to know? I mean, you just gave the full rundown.
3:30, Carla Buckley. It's going
to
be good.
You're trying to put me on the spot.
Pretty much,
yeah. I see what you're doing.
How is the coffee at the Chapel Hill Public Library?
The coffee is fabulous.
That's good.
I'm trying to pull up on my laptop here. Maybe I can do it on my phone. The coffee is fabulous. It's not only news here. It's news everywhere.
Oh, man.
We just got emailed today. I think it's called The Roast. It's like a coffee industry magazine.
Yes.
And they wrote about our pop-up coffee project.
Oh, nice.
So like this national coffee industry news magazine.
That's
I think it's called that. The
really
Roast
good name for, is it The Roast or is it just Roast? Because I could see that going either way.
The Roast. Well, of course, I have a sixth grade boy. Like Roast is like, you know, throwing shade at somebody.
Right.
Oh, I roasted him.
Yeah. Like what they used to do to old-timey celebrities in the 70s, right?
Yeah, right. But now it's more like a burn.
Now it's a burn,
and then,
sick
of course,
burn. Yeah.
I try and be the funny mom, like, ooh, I just braised you. And he's like, just stop, mom.
I broiled you.
Right? I sous vide you, man. He's like, what are you even talking about? So the coffee's great. It's Carborough Coffee Roasters who do Open Eye and Driade. They also supply quite a bit of the beans locally in the area. They've been there. And then I believe next week, Cocoa Bean, which their shop is over off of 54 in the center with Aloft and all those places.
Oh, yeah, the East 54, yeah.
They'll be there, and then we end up with Market Street. But there are many, many smiling faces. I was at the library all day Saturday for our Open Data event, which I'll talk about as well.
Yes.
And it's just great. Like, I would come up or in the lobby, and there's this mom and dad with, you know, cups of coffee, and their children have cocoa, and everybody's just grinning, and they have stacks of books and DVDs, and I'm like, dreams really do come true.
That's awesome.
At the Chapel Hill Public Library.
That's really cool. So how did the Open Data event go?
It was really
I wanted
cool.
to go, but I was moving that day, so I was in the process of picking heavy things up and setting them down again in a different part of town while that was all going on.
You'd have dug it because it was just nerds, man, and they're awesome. And I told them that we had a prize drawing. Everybody
that was, in fairness, also the people who came to help us move. So
Yeah. These are people who are super nerdy about data and their communities and making a difference and solving problems and all of that. So it was great. My role was to make sure that the pizza came and to handle the prize drawing, which
so
was a nerdy bookshelf.
Person. Yes. Oh, awesome.
We had a nerdy bookshelf prize drawing.
Was it a bookshelf and that's what made it nerdy, or was it a particularly nerdy bookshelf for some reason?
It was a set of about a dozen books that would appeal to the nerds that were there. And I say nerds with love and
affection
deep in my heart.
That's
that
me,
is not
that's
a,
my roommate, that's all
right,
of my friends.
That is not
a of
pejorative
course.
Term
yeah,
at
yeah.
all. So it was some things like Ready Player One and some books about data science and some things like that. About a dozen books.
Yeah.
But so
Ready Player One has already made the rounds in my friend circle.
Oh,
yeah, that's a great book.
So my role was to make sure that pizza got there.
Okay.
So I got to observe, and people were super engaged. The Open Data team, which is some library folks, some folks from the town's technology solutions division, they did a great job. Chief Blue gave a great keynote. He talked about Open Data and policing, got some great questions. Mm-hmm. My favorite part was the afternoon when we did like a what's called an unconference, where we figured out what the afternoon would be.
Mm-hmm.
We agreed upon four ideas that we all wanted to talk about. We divvied up into tables, and people talked about what projects they might do or what other data they would like up there. It was super fun.
Awesome. So what did people come up with as ideas?
A lot of things about how we could source data. So the town has sensors up places that count people. How could we get that data? How could we get school data? What might, you know, if we're trying to solve a problem that's a town gown issue, how could we get some university data? We had a lot of fun. My table was the like open data 101 table.
Okay.
So we had some folks who were just interested in the site and sort of what's on there. So we were just noodling around. We had some great conversations at our table because one thing that's up there is the bike and pedestrian counter data. So on the town's greenways, we have these counters that help us know,
right,
you
how
know
many
where the traffic
are,
is.
Yep, yep.
So we were noodling around on that, and I was like, oh, so let's look at this section of, I think it was one of the Bowling Creek trails.
Yeah.
And I was like, so zero people entered, and one person came out at this counter. What might have happened there? And we had great conversations.
Who
was there
this
a birth?
One person?
Right? Don't know. So it was really something for all ages and interests, and it's going to be the first of many. And we got some great feedback on the site. We found a couple of tweaks that we need to make, some kinks to be worked out. There were 75 or 80 people there.
That's
throughout
awesome.
The day. Yeah,
that's
it was
really
great.
Cool. Yeah,
it
were you there
great.
For the whole 6 hours, or
oh, yeah.
in and out, or yeah?
I made sure the pizza got there.
Pizza was there, right.
There was coffee. There were
Perfect.
Snacks.
There was a bookshelf with
There was
books.
A bookshelf.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so it was really, really
it's
fun.
It's really interesting, too. I mean, data is so important. I was talking with Teach American Government, and today we were talking about what is government and just how sort of pervasive is it in society. And we were talking about what they had to do last week, which was plow the roads, like simple thing that
right.
That every every government has to make sure the roads are plowed and cleared. But what actually goes into plowing the roads? And one of the things is, well, you need to know which roads to plow first. How do you determine that? Well, you have to determine what are the main roads. How do you figure that out? You have
How
to have...
How do you deploy your 6 tons of salt?
Exactly.
What's the most efficient way? Where are the, like, fire stations and hospitals?
Yep.
There's priorities.
And that involves knowing how many people are traveling on which roads. That involves zoning and, you know, sort of city planning. So you're sort of pushing people onto certain roads that you've identified as main
yep.
roads. And all of those have to be done in advance before you can even talk about plowing the road. So
yeah,
all of that data collection
really
is important.
Fascinating. There were also
yeah.
three really great presentations from some people who have done some stuff with open data. One of them is the WRAL data reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I missed this part of it because I was making sure the pizza got
was there. Right.
But he Skyped in. He's at Harvard right now on a sabbatical, but he basically closes that loop of municipality share data. The news stations make a story from it, and then they share it back to the public, and then either more questions come about, more problems are solved. But the other one was a lady from the North Carolina Food Inspectors, and they took open data about food inspections, and they've made this site, and I think there's an app, where, yes, it's interesting to say this restaurant got a 90,
right,
and this one got an 80,
right,
but it's more interesting, and it might make your choices different if you know why, right?
Oh,
so if
yeah.
you get an 80 because you didn't have... you know, the right paper towel dispenser
right.
versus you got a 90 because you had chicken at 100 degrees.
Yes.
I don't. I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they took the data and they
that's good.
They dug
yeah.
down and they presented it in a different way that might present a different story, tell a different story.
Yeah.
It is really cool.
That's kind of the same thing with the like labeling. If you go to a restaurant or you go to like Panera or something like that, and now they're doing a better job of labeling all of the items on the menu. But what does it mean when you get the calorie information versus the calorie information followed by, oh, but this also contains a lot of protein versus a lot of simple carbs
right.
and
yep.
stuff like that. Yeah. Interesting. I turned down a scone the other day because I looked at the calories and I was like, no.
Really?
I can do without. Yeah.
I had just gone for it.
I probably should have just gone for it. I was hungry the whole rest of the day. I needed those calories.
But scones, if they're not, or scones? Scones?
Let's just say scones. I said scones, and now I feel bad about it.
I wasn't going to go there, but I did.
I feel like the same sort of people who say scenario instead of scenario.
Scenario.
It's
yeah.
scenario.
Scones
yeah.
and scenarios.
Yeah. Scones and scenarios. Ooh, that would be a great rock album.
Or like a cozy mystery. Like a British
Miss
right?
Marple returns for scones
right.
and scenarios. All right.
We're not going to talk about scones or scones. No. We're going to talk about books.
Yes, and we're going to talk about books with a theme of the end of an era, because we're about to transition into a new era on Friday, for better or worse, with President Obama leaving and President-elect Trump coming in. I'm not going to call him President Trump until I darn well have to.
Well, he's currently President-elect
Trump. There we go.
Trump,
yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So end of an era is our topic. So books themed on that. So what you got?
Okay. So I was thinking there will be a lot of drinking right now. Consumption of adult beverages, both in celebration of the new era.
How
and
is
perhaps
yours, by the way? Mine is good.
My fake drink?
Yes.
It's a little dry. No,
okay.
So so I was thinking about the end of an era, and I was literally thinking about, like, eras. Like, what are epochs and eras?
Okay, right.
So then I thought about Prohibition.
Ah, nice, yeah.
And there's a very good book called Last Call, The Rise and Fall of Prohibition. It came out in, I think, 2010 or 2011. And it just looks at, from a very, I think, not super scholarly, it's very readable and approachable look at Prohibition. What the heck happened? Why it happened? How we got there? What happened afterwards?
Okay.
It's really, really good, and he's an excellent writer. And of course, it made me think about as well, watch me work this.
Oh, this is going to be
good.
Here
we go.
This is about to be, everyone sit down for this.
It is the month of January.
If you're standing up and driving, don't do that anymore.
Pour yourself a drink.
Yes.
Don't do
that either.
If that era had not ended, if Prohibition era had not ended, we would not this month have at City Kitchen as our chairman.
Yes. Oh, nice.
We forgot to talk about this last week.
Yeah.
We would not have this month available at City Kitchen, your neighbors, our dear friends.
Yes.
The charity cocktail this month is the proceeds go to the fabulous Friends of the Library.
That's awesome.
The cocktail is, wait for it, the Huckleberry Gin.
Oh, God.
The Huckleberry Gin. Pretty cute.
Yes.
Named
after Ginny Weasley, of course, from the Harry Potter series.
That's not
one
right,
of my
Aaron.
Favorite characters of all time.
yes, the cocktail is $12, but $5 of that goes straight to the Friends.
And $12 for a cocktail is not
bad,
now.
Right?
Yeah, that's about right.
And it's got some gin and some
huckleberries, perhaps.
Okay, I'm going to find out what's in it while you talk. But my first book about the end of an era, Last Call, The Rise and Fall of Prohibition, you should totally go and check that out from the library. Bring it down to City Kitchen, order a cocktail, and sit at the bar reading about Prohibition.
Ideally a Huckleberry Gin.
Get a Huckleberry Gin.
Give to the Friends of the Library as well. Okay, I'm going to go super nerdy. Insofar as my sort of scholarly background is early American political thought, so I thought about not so much the end of an era, but the beginning of an era with the American Revolution and the founding era and the framing of the U.S. Constitution. Like, how do you understand all of that? There's a bunch of great books that you can read for that purpose, but the one that I want to recommend, and people who study American political thought, you can shut your ears or not, because this is an older one. I'm reaching back to the 60s, but Gordon Wood's The Creation of the American Republic, which is one of the first really great sort of modern books understanding the American founding and the difference between the American Revolution and the Constitution, and how they're not, they're kind of two sides of the same coin, but one sort of phases into the other in a way that that counteracts, like the Constitution sort of counteracts the Revolution in really interesting ways. And Gordon Wood was one of the first scholars who really had the modern sense of how all of that worked. And it's a really readable book, surprisingly, in spite of, or maybe because of, the fact that it's very scholarly. But check that out. It's called The Creation of the American Republic. It was from 67, I think, 68, 69.
I remember reading Gordon Wood when I was a graduate student in history.
He's written a lot of good stuff. Yeah. I think he's still around now. He's still active.
What's the book called again?
The Creation of the American Republic, 1776 to 1787. You said nerd, and you are right.
History
I'm
nerds.
I'm very nerdy
very
about America, early American history, and this
I
is a really
it.
Good book. There are other good ones, too, but that's a good one. Okay.
Okay. So, end of an era.
Yes.
My mind,
yes.
Even though I'm a happy-go-lucky rose-colored glasses, glasses always half full kind of a gal. Uh-huh. I'm very optimistic and cheery. As you, come on.
Yeah,
you know, right?
You are, in fact.
I love reading really dark, pessimistic, awful stuff. So when I think about the end of an era, I thought apocalyptic, dystopian fiction.
Yes.
So I want to recommend, as you know, I don't read a lot of graphic novels. And when I do read them, they're generally not the capes and tights and superheroes kinds of things. I am going to recommend Why the Last Man, which is a graphic novel series. I'm super excited because I just heard over the weekend, I think it's HBO, somebody is going to finally bring it. Like, there's a script out there that is almost done, signed off on. Somebody's going to bring this to, like, HBO or Netflix. It's kind of like Ender's Game, where it was in production forever.
Forever, yeah.
So, The Last Man. Why The Last Man? Here's how the story opens. And there's probably a dozen graphic novels in the series. It's July 2002. And on this one day, July 17th, 2002, all living mammals with a Y chromosome, including embryos, sperm, all of it, everything, they disappear.
Dies.
They die.
Oh, they disappear?
They die.
Oh, they die.
Sorry,
okay.
They die, with the exception
of one guy.
Young guy and his sidekick monkey.
Nope.
So it's this young guy
not expecting
named,
the sidekick monkey.
This young guy named Yorick Brown, and his monkey is named Ampersand, which is pretty awesome.
That's a good name for a monkey.
In addition to the men dying, many women die from disasters and all of this different stuff. There's plane crashes. There's chaos everywhere. And the women everywhere are trying to figure out what's going on. Are they also going to die? How long could we possibly last with no more men? Yorick's mother is a congresswoman. And she commissions a group to go out and find her son and bring him back to figure out why he's still alive.
Does she know? She knows
he's
alive. Yeah.
What this means. And that is the setting for this series of graphic novels. It's really,
I'm going to have to check this out.
Good.
How long is it?
Oh, I think there's maybe a dozen of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Eight, ten, a dozen of them.
Okay.
If you like intrigue, dystopian stuff. It's not heavy sci-fi. It's more sort of adventure thriller, but with that, what if this happened? What would actually happen? Really, really good. And if they don't totally mess it up, I'm super excited for this to come to the big screen, much like, you know, all the other great series, Game of Thrones and all of these, Ender's Game. This could be awesome.
And HBO is doing that?
I want to say it was HBO. I heard about it over the weekend.
It's a sign that I am too stuck in following North Carolina politics that every time you said HBO, I'm like, they got to repeal that this year, right?
I thought you were going to say, like, you keep thinking you should watch more TV, yet you're sucked into
politics. No, I'm too far beyond that. Okay, so moving away from politics then, my second, and this will be my last recommendation, I thought about end of an era when it came to sort of eras of motion pictures. And I want to recommend, this is by Mark Harris. It came out a few years ago. It's about 1967 in movies. It's a book called Pictures at a Revolution, Five Movies and the Birth of a New Hollywood. And it's all about the five movies that got nominated for Best Picture in 1967 at the 68 Academy Awards, including possibly my favorite, and if not, it's definitely in my top five, The Graduate, which is one of my very favorite movies of all time, and everyone should see it now as soon as my show is over. And Bonnie and Clyde, and In the Heat of the Night, and some great, great movies that come out in 1967 and just completely transform the way that Hollywood conceived of itself, the kind of movies that Hollywood made. It's the end of the Hays Code. It's moving into sort of like all that transition of the 1960s with civil rights and women's liberation and the gay rights movement and all of this starting to emerge, and it sort of comes to a head in 1967 with motion pictures, and Mark Harris writes about that.
What's it called?
Pictures at a Revolution is the title.
That
Five
sounds great.
Movies and the Birth of a New Hollywood.
I love
good
it.
Book.
That's awesome. The only other one that I wanted to recommend thinking about the end of an era, the first thing I thought of was Downton Abbey with that, you know, transition from one era to the next in society and family and socioeconomics and all of that. And for people that liked Downton Abbey and like that type of story, I highly recommend The Forsyte Saga by John Galsworthy, which was a trio of novels published in the 20s. And then there have been at least two adaptations of it. One was in the 70s on Masterpiece Theater, and one much more recent, which is so, so good. But The Forsyte Saga, again, tracks that family sort of, you know, large, wealthy, well-to-do British family through that transition from just beyond the turn of the century, but from that sort of staid, buttoned-down, Edwardian kind of look to a much more modern look. And what I love about the Forsyte Saga is the symbol of that transition of the end of one era and the beginning of the next, and they do this really well in the newer version of the movie, is this house. This modern house has been built, and it's driving the old family crazy, and it's a symbol of everything that's going on. So the Forsyte Saga definitely made me think, or I thought of that when I thought of the end of an era.
Very cool. Those are our recommendations for this week. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
See you next week.
And head to the library and get your coffee, and head to City Kitchen and get your Huckleberry Gin, and you'll be benefiting the Friends of the Library.